the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend.
Here we go.
And the loudmouth.
Anywhere you are, and by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. And
is that, I want to say, Madam Speaker, the President of the United States?
Yeah, no, I know. Right, yeah, now? You do. And this isn't the theme for Patrick Mahomes and Hail to the Chief.
Well, but, it might be.
We'll see how it goes.
Madam Speaker,
welcome, the President of the United States.
And Patrick, of course, Mahomes.
That was yesterday. And regardless of what you think of the guy who's in the office or the guy who left the office, we're not here to talk about that.
No, we're not.
We are not a political show, but that's always an interesting event in American life, whether you're the Fox News guy, the MSNBC guy, or whatever,
CNN guy.
Or the CNN guy, whatever. New sheriff in town, so we'll see how that goes. But of course, the new Mr. President, Mr. Biden, is a Delaware blue hen, which doesn't exactly bode well for his opening. But I thought it might be interesting, Grant, as we start the show off here, and obviously we're one day into the new administration, but did you know that there are 5 schools that have produced a President of the United States and a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Did you know? I want
to
see if you can, how many of these you can get right. I gave you one. You have to
Delaware.
Match Delaware with Biden and that guy, Joe Flacco, right?
Okay.
Any of the other 4 you can get? I'll give you hints.
Michigan. Gerald Ford, Tom Brady.
Right? Gerald Ford.
Played offensive center and defensive linebacker.
So, as opposed to the defensive center and the offensive linebacker.
That's what he said.
I know.
Offensive center.
All right.
That I can really vividly remember.
I'll give you another hint. One of those schools has actually two quarterbacks on this list, believe it or not.
Just because I'm Arkansas?
No, it is not Arkansas.
Sorry, I see Clinton.
If I give you the school, can you give me the president and the quarterback?
I'd give you the MVP.
Okay, well, how about we'll start with one that's kind of tough. How about Miami of Ohio?
Roethlisberger.
Right, and Benjamin Harrison is the president.
I never would have guessed that. Right.
Well, you live on Harrison Street, so I mean, you know.
Give her a podcast location.
I didn't say where the studio was. And then we've got Stanford, which has 2.
Stanford.
Not a very popular president, mind you.
Jim Plunkett?
Jim Plunkett's one of them.
There's two.
And he also won 2.
Are they both quarterbacks? Elway.
5 schools have produced a President of the United States and a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Did I miss the beginning of the show?
Sorry.
Okay. All right. And who's the other one?
Elway.
And the president was Herbert Hoover, not a real popular guy.
No.
The only other one is the Naval Academy.
Navy and Staubach.
Right. And Jimmy Carter.
He's a Navy guy?
Navy guy. So.
From Georgia?
Trivia question. What NFL playoff team would have had to win this year to make it 6? Any idea?
Make it 6.
I didn't know this either, but I guess
read me the question again.
Okay. So what NFL playoff team would have had to win this year to make 6, to make that list 6?
Because of Biden?
No. You're not understanding the question.
No, I'm not.
So one NFL team would have had to have won in the playoffs, and if their quarterback had gotten through to the Super Bowl, then there would have been one other team that would have been able to do it. So,
another college team?
No.
Like,
think of the teams in the playoffs.
The NFL playoffs, yeah.
Right. Teams in the original playoff field.
Okay. Think of a quarterback?
Yeah. What playoff team would have had to win? Well, this is painful. Okay. It's the Bears. Because okay. if Mitch Trubisky would have won the Super Bowl, James K. Polk went to North Carolina.
Again.
So
never would have guessed Trubisky under any circumstances.
A few people picked Harvard, but of course Ryan Fitzpatrick, but they didn't make the playoffs. That would have been quite a few. If Daniel Jones would get to the Super Bowl, Richard Nixon went to Duke, I believe.
He's a Duke graduate?
If you want to go vice president, we could have had Dick Cheney, Josh Allen, but that didn't happen. So, anyway, just thought you'd want to know. So, anyway, there's your presidential trivia for the day, and I'm going to say that was not a good first few minutes for you on the show there. Getting
not worried about it.
So, anyway, so that's your President of the United States trivia.
Nobody listen anyways.
But the Joe Flacco in Delaware and... you got beat by the Buys, and it's all. I guess that we can say that for
at home.
So it's 9 o'clock. It's the 21st hour of the 21st day of the
21st century.
Are you going to ruin every bit that I came up with for tonight?
Well, I've already seen that line today. So
yeah. You're no fun.
The T-Wolves Instagram page kind of quite spoiled.
We don't need to talk about the T-Wolves after that last night. I sat down to watch 5 minutes of the game and watched.
They lost.
An absolute miserable experience.
How do you blow a 20-point lead in 10 minutes?
This must be why we don't talk about the NBA very much on the show. Because
you're ridiculous. Clueless about it. So.
By the way, starting today, starting yesterday, the next 10 days, read the same forward and backward.
Who cares?
Blow your mind with that one for a few minutes. So if you write it out, it's 121-21. If you write it backwards, it's a palindrome. Wow.
It's a palindrome.
Not getting off to a good start here on the show, am I? So,
no, you're not. It lost me a palindrome.
Well, that's that's your English word of the day. So, obviously, it's a good night to play blackjack. It's hit me night. You know, 21. I should have played that video. What's 9 plus 10 to 20? 21? Yeah. Maybe I have to find
you
that.
You stupid.
Maybe I have to find that video later in the show. I didn't even think about that one. But anyway, we've got on the show tonight, now that we've ruined the opening for everybody, we've got some NFL coaching news and kind of a weird hire, and not sure how that's all going to work out. We've got one guy who's going to talk about the operation of a motor vehicle as his main motivation for his team. And then we're going to talk about the new coach of the Detroit Lions, who, if nothing else, is going to be the most entertaining guy in the league to listen to when they get the shit kicked out of them on a routine basis.
By the Vikings and the Packers.
We've got Bison basketball preview this weekend as they take on the Pios, which I hate when the announcers use that term.
The Denver Pios.
The Pios. We've got Bison football, some juggling to the schedule, and with Indiana State going away, we're going to bring a team back onto the schedule now, so we'll go over that. And we'll also talk... real briefly at the end about the best team in local and regional sports right now. We'll have a little conversation about them maybe towards the end of the show. But, as always, we start with the National Football League. Conference Championship Weekend. How about that?
Yay!
It's going to be fun. Let's talk about it.
Let's see that.
NFC Championship game starts the weekend off. Packers, 3-point favorites over the Bucks. Packers come in 14-3. 13-5 for the Bucks. The over-under is 51.5. By the way, I am 2 up in the overall competition here. So
in the made-up playoff.
In the made-up playoff contest that I'm going to win. So, anyway, we go to this. And Grant, initial impressions for you. Bucks Packers, weather not expected to be a factor, just 32-ish like it usually is.
Mm-hmm.
So, from your perspective, what are the major things we should be watching for in this game?
The Bucks have to be able to run the football. If you're playing Green Bay, it's an Achilles heel for years. You have to be able to run the football on Green Bay. Because you know that Devontae is going to have about 10 catches, 130-something yards, 3 touchdowns. Ian Adams are on point.
If he has that, then it's going to be over.
Well, the Vikes gave Devontae Adams 3 touchdowns and won the game, so it's not impossible to win.
Somehow I got a feeling that won't be the same blueprint.
No, but the difference between the Vikings and the Bucks is the Bucks had the weapons to go back and forth with Green Bay. You
sure about that?
I'm sure about that. Am I sure about that? Do you see what the Bucks have at receiver? It's pretty good.
Yeah. Adams had 6 catches for 61 yards in the previous game between these two teams. So I was just kind of curious.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that, but no touchdowns. So
no touchdowns and was targeted 10 times.
So in that sense, that's shutting him down. And so if that's it, then that's pretty good.
So to your point, let's just refresh everybody's memory. The Packers' worst football game of the year
was against Tampa.
Was Week 6 at Tampa. So what were you doing on October 18th? Well, the Packers were getting their ass kicked, 38-10. And what was so strange about this game, Grant, is how quickly it turned. But to your point about the rushing yardage, Green Bay this year lost 3 games, and in each of those 3 losses, they gave up more than 140 yards. They actually gave up 4 games where they had over 140 yards rushing given up against them. Tennessee, they had 156 against them, but let's be honest, that game was over.
Yeah, the game was over.
The Colts ran for 140 yards in overtime. The Bucks ran for 158 yards in the last meeting. The Vikes ran for 173. Okay? You're absolutely right about that. If the Bucks are able to run the ball and have a balanced offensive attack, they had 166 passing yards, 158 on the ground. Okay? They had a heck of an effort. But Ronald Jones, 23 carries, 113 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. Leonard Fournette didn't have a single carry in this game.
He will in this game.
And I think having that balanced rushing attack with 2 backs, because, you know, I think Fournette, over the course of the season, has certainly gotten a lot better.
Right.
But I think this is Ronald Jones' ball to tote. And just based on the last performance. Well, you know, I don't know if he's 100%, but
he's going
to
play.
Honestly, so. Does he need to be if Fournette is at his, you know, even...
If Fournette's in a Jacksonville form, I mean, he should be able to easily...
Now, Fournette is going to be he'll probably be the starter, and right. Jones is probably game time. I haven't heard anything that says Jones isn't going to play, but
right.
he's expected to be back in the lineup based on that. Now, I don't know about if anything has developed over the last few... well, you know what? As I say that, I'm looking at some breaking news here.
Oh, no.
No, that was a few weeks ago. Never mind. No, we're good. He was on the COVID list. I was like, did I read the wrong story? But
yeah,
no.
You did.
So he's expected back. Okay.
It's false alarm.
So we got that. But the other thing you have to remember about the last time these two teams got together, okay?
Rodgers sucked.
Well, let's take a look at that last game.
Okay.
I broke that down a little bit looking at for this. First of all, Green Bay, this was the first loss they had all year. Okay.
Best happy I've ever been in a football season.
People forget they led this game 10-0.
They did. But the problem was was the final outcome was 38-10.
They kicked a field goal on the first drive. Tampa went 3 and out. And then Green Bay drove down Aaron Jones scored a 1-yard touchdown. It's 10-0. The time of possession in the first, Green Bay had the ball 13 minutes in the first quarter. And that'll be relevant later. 13-2. Tampa had the ball for all 2 minutes in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa goes, gets a couple of first downs, punts. Green Bay takes over on their own 22. And in the span of 1:40, the Packers fall behind. How do they do that? Aaron Rodgers threw it right to Janelle Dean, first of all. Touchdown.
He plays for the other team.
And he played, yeah, problem. He plays for the Bucks. And then in the subsequent drive, he gets picked off by Edwards. I should say that's Rodgers. 2 picks. Only game of the season where Rodgers threw 2 interceptions.
Right.
And he did it in less than 2 minutes apart. Edwards picks it off, runs it back to the 2-yard line. Jones scores on the next play. Okay. Green Bay goes 3 and out on the next drive. Tampa goes down, scores again. Now it's 21-10.
Uh-oh.
Green Bay goes 3 and out. Again, Tampa goes down, scores again. Okay? In the span of that long, in the second quarter, the Bucs scored 28 unanswered. And then, in the third quarter, Green Bay comes out, and every drive they had in the second half, it went punt, 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 punt. Okay? Meanwhile, Tampa, all they need to do is get 1 more field goal, and that's ball game.
Right.
for Rodgers, fewest completions he's had in the game, 16. Okay? Only game this year where he completed under 50% of his passes.
Ooh, ooh.
The longest pass he had in the game was 20 yards. The shortest, longest pass, if that makes sense, of the year. And the other thing, he got sacked 4 times. All right? And Todd Bowles and that defense put pressure on him.
Yep.
With Devin White, Levante David, and that linebacking group. Hell of a job.
Right.
All that being said, and even as poorly as they played, it's tough to pick against Green Bay.
Not tough for me.
But it sure seems like if you're going to dial up the team to beat Green Bay,
it's Tampa.
This is the team, right?
I mean, well,
based on all that stunning knowledge I just laid out.
That, that quarterback for the Bucs, he's pretty good. That Brady
guy.
Yeah,
I heard he's won a few games.
That Brady guy, he's won.
Did I hear that it's the 14th conference championship game?
And he's won more playoff games than most NFC teams, so it's just like as a franchise. So.
By the way, funny part is running buddy Rob Gronkowski, there was some footage
where he goes
to the NFC championship game, and I think Devin White says,
"I'll be playing in the NFC, fool."
I should have pulled that clip.
No, off. But it's like this is Brady. This is playoff Brady. Rodgers hasn't played playoff Brady. He's played regular season Brady in Foxborough. To me, it doesn't differ my pick. I'm picking Tampa no matter what you say. So
you're going Tampa plus the 3.
And you know what? Somebody's got to play Super Bowl in their own stadium. Why not Tampa Bay?
Right, and that's the other thing that's on the line here is
why
that
not Tampa Bay?
The Vikes had this opportunity and blew it a few years ago.
Well, they weren't anyone yet.
Tampa could play it in their own stadium, and it's pretty tough for them not to notice because they're doing all the preparations for the Super Bowl,
right?
And they're right there,
right?
So I kind of wonder. I'm going to tell you with this, I'm going to pick the under, but
you're,
I also
picking the under in this game.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, it was 38-10 Green Bay or Tampa in the last game. The way the Bucs will run the ball in possession time, I'm going to pick the under. You can take the over or the under.
That's tough. Because I just feel like there's a lot more points scored.
I'm going to take Tampa plus the 3.
Tampa and 3 points is what I'm doing.
I like Tampa plus the 3. I really do. So I'm going to take Tampa plus the 3, but I'm going to take the under.
I want to take the over because I feel like that Rodgers would figure out the Bucs defense at some point. Because that Bucs defense is underappreciated at times. Because how athletic their linebackers are, they'll be able to cover things.
I like the way Todd Bowles called that first game. He blitzed on over half the third downs in the game. And he made Rodgers uncomfortable. Again, less than 50% completion, but Rodgers never has games like that where he just flat out can't hit receivers. Now,
which put smiles on our faces.
In his defense, he did have one bomb deep to Adams, I think it was, that got, or Scant, or Marquez Valdez-Scantling, that got called back on a review. But so he did hit a longer pass than 20 yards, but not that counted.
But didn't count.
So I'm really curious if Green Bay, you know, they need to generate drives. And they had, like I said, multiple three and outs in the game previously and punted a whole bunch of times.
Right.
I think they'll play better. The question is, will Tampa need to throw? And I think if Brady has to throw,
I'm okay with that.
He's going to be in trouble.
I
think if he has to throw the football all over the place, I just don't think he has the type of team that can come out and gunsling for 400 yards.
No, not necessarily that, but if he needed to throw your regular 30, 35 times, that's where it's like, okay. Because I feel like that with Brady, his weapons have come together. Like
Brady only threw it 27 times in that win.
Yep.
Okay.
In the first Green Bay game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's just like you got AB, you got Evans, you got Godwin. They can get open. And Gronk can get open down the seam. It's not like they can't. Everything's a short passing game.
Gronk had a nice game.
Right.
5 catches for 78 yards.
Right.
And a touchdown.
But with Breeze, and I'm going to go back to the division around, but Breeze and Brady. Breeze looks like your prototypical 42-year-old. No offense, but
I'm taking Brady's thrown it, by the way, average of 38 times
but
a game.
But Breeze,
38.
Like I went back and watched the wild card game again between the Vikes and the Saints from 2019.
What do you think? I'm a loser.
The difference in 2 years that Breeze had, he threw it deep multiple times against the Vikes.
against the Bucks, he's throwing it 10 yards at max downfield. He's hardly throwing the ball downfield at all. And then there's Brady, who can still let it fly at 40, at 43 over his age.
I'm going to tell you, though, that the games that Brady had to throw a lot didn't go real well for him, okay?
You don't have to in this game.
He go through it 41 times against the Chicago, forgot what down it was, and lost. He threw it 38 times against the Saints, lost. The first Saints game. Or that would be, I guess, the second Saints
first
game.
Second,
the one where they got hammered.
Game.
He threw it 48 times against the Rams and lost. He threw it 41 times against the Chiefs and lost. The fewer times he has to throw the ball, I mean, look at the game against the Vikes. Now, of course, the Vikes, you know, screwed that game up to high heaven, but he threw it 23 times. Fewest times he's thrown the ball here. And they were easily winning that game.
Right.
So I still contend that the better the running game is for Tampa Bay, and that's why I think they're going to keep this close, and that's why I think a field goal is about the right. I think the odds makers have it right. I wouldn't be surprised if the game moved to 3.5 just to get some more money on Green Bay.
Right.
Or Tampa, for that matter, I should say, not Green Bay.
Wow.
But 3's enough for me. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a field goal game. Right. I think it's probably a push either way, but listen, I'm rooting for Tampa like you wouldn't believe. The Bay of Pigs and the Pete Axsell's old, you know, joke about the Bay of Pigs game when they used to play twice a year, and Tampa would always go to Green Bay and get their ass just totally kicked.
Tampa, they'd be like the all white, so you couldn't find them if it was a snowy
day.
Ridiculous.
And then Trent Dilfer would go out and he looked like the most uncomfortable guy ever out there because it was just the weather conditions were so shitty. But the other thing, too, I guess, in this is it sounds like Antonio Brown may not play, and that kind of ticked the ball deep, ticked the top off the defense kind of guy, maybe not. But Godwin, Evans, Gronk, your boy Brate.
Scotty Miller.
My. I just like, again, and I can't pick against Tampa because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. So I certainly can't.
My hatred for Green Bay runs deep.
It
so,
does.
So it's just, you will never differ me off of Green Bay, off of picking against Green Bay.
Okay. Well, and that's totally fair. In regular season,
yeah, I'm picking for something. Playoffs?
Playoffs?
Don't talk about playoffs.
I will not play the Packer polka unless they win. But
no,
I didn't think
you're still not going.
I didn't
play
think you wanted to hear. I didn't think you wanted to hear it.
Oh, the Schottenheimer polka if Kansas City wins.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think so. But
Schottenheimer polka.
So I'm on Tampa plus 3 and the under. You are Tampa plus 3
and the over.
You can take the over.
What's the over again?
51.5.
Oh.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if it's snow or not.
So you got the over. So where we're going to differ is on that. Okay. And I have the under. On that one. Okay. Second game. We move to the Bills and the Chiefs. That must have been a hell of a week in the NFL scheduling office. They played the next night, October 19th, week 6. Bills and Chiefs.
Yeah.
Bills come in 15-3. Chiefs come in 15-2. Chiefs are minus 3. And the over-under is 54. Okay. Let's just take it right now. I'm going
Chiefs and over. Yep. Agreed.
Okay. And here's why. And the interesting part about this game, when I look back at the previous meeting, Grant, Chiefs won at 26-17, but it was very evenly matched. And ironically enough, the Chiefs, best known for slinging it all over the field and just scoring a whole bunch of points,
they can run the ball.
Ran the ball as well as they had in any game of the season in this one. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, my boy, 26 carries, 161 yards. The Chiefs had 46 carries for 245 yards. And that was the key to the whole game, is they just grinded out this game. It wasn't decided until Butker makes a field goal with 2 minutes to go to put it out of reach. Mahomes, an efficient day, 21-26, 225 yards, couple of touchdowns. Josh Allen, not so much. It was 14-27, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns, threw a meaningless pick at the end, picked off by our guy Daniel Sorensen. Christ. Allen led the Bills in rushing with 42 yards. Not a good day. The Bills only managed 206 yards of offense entire game.
Not in college, in the NFL.
And I know the Chiefs aren't exactly a whiz-bang defense, but you're going to have to get 206 yards. You're going to have to double that number if you want to win that game.
Yeah, in the first half maybe, but not in the whole game. I mean, Kansas City, you want to take away the pass, they can run the ball. Take away the run, they can pass it. I mean, You really have to pick your poison with what you want to do with Kansas City. Do you want to double Kelce and Tyreek, leaving the run game open? Do you want to shut the run game down? It's just, you really have to decide how do I limit them from beating us? But with the Bills, it's shut down their passing game and the win is yours. It's just to the point where they can't run the ball at all.
Right.
They didn't throw a pass in the first quarter last week. It's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to run the football to win a playoff game.
Bills can't do it.
They can't. And they just look so bad. Against the Ravens, if the running back doesn't throw a pick six, the Ravens might go in and tie that game. So they look like the most dominant team on the field against the Ravens. They look like a team, they look like the Rex Ryan led Bills teams. That were decent. Wow. That were okay, but they just didn't dominate.
It's funny you say that because I had forgotten that he'd coached the Bills. Honestly, that was such
it was a very forgettable time.
That was not a good team.
No,
by any stretch of the imagination.
Or Dick Duron, or
Dick Duron. Jesus, now we're getting into the real dog shit.
Marv Levy.
Bills. A couple other things about that game. To note. Yeah. God. Chiefs got penalized quite a bit. They had 8 penalties for 68 yards, but they ran 73 plays to Buffalo's 50. They were 9 of 14 on third down. They outpossessed Buffalo by nearly 2-1.
So they won the offensive battle. Just cut it short. Won.
But here's the best stat, though, of the whole game. In the second half, the Chiefs only had by a field goal at the half. Because if you remember, at the end of the first half, there was a sequence where it could have been tied at the half. The Chiefs get a big 3rd-and-14 completion, and then they call timeout. They're going to try to drive for a score. And Mahomes hits Kelce, who fumbles the ball. And it gets picked up. The Bills get it. They throw a pass to Diggs to get to the 35, and Tyler Bass, kick his ass, Seabass, misses a 52-yard field goal that would have tied the game at the half. Instead, the Bills come out down instead of tied with the momentum not on their side, and the Chiefs had 3 second half possessions. 13 plays, 82 yards, touchdown. 10 plays, 75 yards, field goal. 12 plays, 75 yards, field goal. And then the last kneel down, which right. I guess I don't count as a possession, but right. I should. So 4 possessions, but on those 3 primary possessions, 35 plays, 13 points, and all the clock drained off.
Right.
And when you're the Bills and you can't sustain an offense by running the football.
And they're going back to the run and shoot is what they're doing here. I mean, they can't hold the lead because you can't stop passing the ball.
They cannot gain only 200. They're going to have 400 yards to win. Allen's going to have to throw for, and he's going to have to throw and run for almost all of it.
Right. It just with Stephon Diggs is their best receiver. Okay.
And he only had 46 yards
exactly.
in the first game.
He only had 46 yards. Cole Beasley. He's a good second option, but it's like
he's Julian Edelman.
He's Julian Edelman, right? He's that nice slot receiver you like to have, like a Thielen, for instance. But
Thielen's better,
absolutely. But the Bills need to develop a run game, run the ball,
and they don't have Zach Moss, and they're going to have to rely on. And honestly, it's going to be
Singletary is a good back, but it's just like.
But he doesn't get enough carries.
Did they sign somebody else? I forget who else they signed.
I don't remember. Well, they had T.J. Yeldon playing for Moss.
Yeah, that was
so
it.
That ain't going to move the needle for anybody.
No, but you've got to develop a run game because I feel like with Steve Spagnuolo, just the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, he's like, I'm just play pass defense. I'm just gonna drop a bunch of guys. I'm going to make you run the football. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, do you run 2 down linemen to say, hey, run the ball? Run it. I'm giving it to you. Run it. And they probably still won't do it. It's just, you've got to be able to establish the run to win.
Everything we have heard says Patrick Mahomes will play on Sunday.
He's going to play.
We wouldn't make this pick if it wasn't, but I don't think there's any question the Chiefs at full offensive strength. And remember also in the Buffalo game previously, Tyreek Hill only had 20 yards receiving.
That's going to be a lot more than that.
I guarantee you he'll have a bigger role in this game. He will definitely be out there. I know Tre'Davious White's fast, and I know the Bills' secondary is, Terrence Johnson, all these guys they have back there.
He had one good play.
Yeah. Well, no, he's had 2. He had another pick 6 earlier. We talked about that on the show last week.
Okay.
But I don't think that the Bills defensively
can
slow down. I mean, again, let me ask it to you this way. If they hold the Chiefs to 26 points again, I think they can win. But if the Chiefs get north of 30, I think it's over.
Right.
I just don't think the Bills can keep up.
Let me put it this way. The Chiefs can win a crawl or a track meet. They can win both. If you want to just slowly crawl and get a win, they can do that. You want a track meet, they can do that. Right. They can win any way you want to play it.
Let me ask you this, I think we've got... So we're both on Chiefs minus three and the over.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this just in the general of the weekend, because I thought it was an interesting question I heard earlier today. Who needs to get to the Super Bowl the most of these four quarterbacks? Who needs to get there the most?
Rodgers.
I agree.
Rodgers. Yeah. Because he's still in the shadow of Brett Favre, okay? Because Favre was the all-worldly quarterback in Green Bay. And then Rodgers shows up because he was the villain and because Favre came back and then he was traded and then he went to Minnesota. It's like, so he's got the one ring, right? But overall, I'm going to ask you a general question. Who's been the better quarterback, Favre or Rodgers?
Who's been the better quarterback?
Who's been the better quarterback over their career? Favre or Rodgers?
If you put the truth meter on me right now, I'd tell you it's Rodgers.
I tell you it's Favre.
Because for all that talent that Favre had,
he still got to few Super Bowls.
In today's game, his style doesn't work.
It doesn't, you're right. But back then it was the thing.
Because of the sheer number of interceptions that he threw, he cost the Packers, and honestly, he cost the Vikings.
He cost the Vikes a Super Bowl. He cost the team
that probably, he only got to two.
Right, but Roger only got the one. So it's just...
Right, but here's the thing about Favre. Again, because you gave less talented teams more opportunities to beat you by turning the ball over,
right.
you cost... Now, in all fairness, the game they lost to Denver, that Denver team was better. They had Elway, they had Terrell Davis at the peak of his powers, they had John Mobley and a good defense.
Right. See that water, and they were just dominant.
And let's be candid, too. The Packers, when they won in the Super Bowl, they were a superior team in New England. And
oh, God, yeah.
If it wasn't for Desmond Howard, that game might have been a little bit different.
Yeah.
So, just throwing that out
there. Yeah, right.
If you look at the Packers, and it's been now, was it been 10 years
it's
since
been a
Rodgers
decade.
Been to the Super
it's
Bowl?
It's been a decade.
I would also say, though, that Rodgers has not been surrounded with the degree of talent.
I think the front office has let him down a little bit in terms of getting receivers. I get it. They need to get a quarterback of the future. I get it. They need to get another running back. I get it. But you need a guy more than Adams to win. But, I mean, back-to-back 13-win seasons, that I should probably shut up because they win 13 games
every
year.
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to have such problems. But,
right.
But I would say if Rodgers gets and wins this one, then that discussion's moot because
it's over. It's over. Yeah, it's over.
Because once you hit the second Super Bowl.
If he wins it, yeah.
I mean, if I'm looking at history and I look at a guy like Eli Manning, take it or leave it, but he won two Super Bowls.
But, I mean, because you say rings matter, right? Is that you're a big rings guy?
I am a rings guy.
So then, is Eli Manning better than Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Again, that's where I think your theory is a little flawed. Because Rodgers is the better quarterback, but one's got more rings than the other one does.
Well, Eli and Peyton both have two rings. Who's better?
Peyton.
If Peyton had one ring, would Eli be better?
No.
So why
do you go with the rings matter argument, then?
Well, I do because it matters in the overall assessment of the player.
So is Bill Russell the best NBA player of all time?
No. But he has the most rings.
He does. I mean, it's like, I got 11 stones. That's
I mean,
great.
Again, we're getting into Michael Jordan 6-0 versus LeBron 4.
I mean, Robert Horry won 7 titles.
Big Shot Bob. I love talking about Big Shot Bob. He won 7 titles.
I mean.
So, it's interesting because I would say that on the body of work that he's created, I look at Rodgers when he runs the offense, and I think there isn't a better guy who knows how to run his team and play the quarterback position. I think he's the best in the game.
And play the defense as well.
Yep. I mean, how many times do you have to see the running off the field, he gets 12 men on the offside?
It's a third and two, he gets a free five.
Right.
It's just like...
Right.
He's such an annoying quarterback to be against, but you still respect the guy saying he plays as well as anybody plays the position.
It's funny because I don't see Brady that way. Brady is not, to me, like that kind of master.
Yeah,
on
Brady.
The field.
He's not the fastest. He's not the strongest. He's not.
But he does everything well.
Yeah, and it's just, is there one thing he does particularly great? I mean,
I think what's underrated about Brady is how he has the ability to get his team into the right play.
Right.
And I think that is a highly under... If you look at...
He's not Peyton Manning if he doesn't get into the right
play. No, but let's look at a guy like Mahomes. Mahomes is a unique bird because he's got
the most God-given talent.
He's got the greatest arm, the best feet, and everything. He's got the physical talent.
He has the best God-given talent.
But he is also a pretty smart quarterback.
That's true.
Josh Allen, right, strikes me as a guy who might get there someday, but he's got a ways to go. Yep. But he's got the arm.
Yep.
He's got the toughness.
He's got the feet. He's got everything.
Right. Brady is, again, he's never been the physical guy.
No.
But, again, I think the fact that he can know how to get you in the right spots and in the right situations, and you just can't measure that on a
right.
when you look at a game.
Right.
I think with Rodgers, though, the legacy, like you said, is more damning. But you only got there once.
I mean, think of the year after they won the Super Bowl. They were 15-1, and they got beat by the Giants in the divisional round.
Right.
I mean, that I don't want to say it's a big stain on his career, but you were 15-1 with one of the greatest teams you've probably ever seen, and he gets beat by a Eli Manning Giants team again. Yeah. I mean, the Giants. It seems like Eli Manning's a good monkey wrench into things. He always throws that in there because Manning wasn't a spectacular quarterback by any means. But he still beat Rodgers at Lambeau. He beat Brady twice in the big game. I mean, Manning might be one of those underrated and overrated quarterbacks at the same time. You know?
Let's not forget Rodgers' longevity here, too. I mean, he has played a long time.
Right? Well, he did sit behind Favre for 3 years? 5, 6, and 7 he sat out? Or he sat behind him?
And in all that time, I look at Green Bay and I just think, man... Did they just waste a lot of talent?
It's a lot of untapped potential. Unfilled potential is with those teams.
I mean,
and you know what? We're happy about that, but they wasted a lot of talent. I mean, Clay Matthews, after the one season, he was a great player. But they didn't get guys. They wasted the end of Charles Woodson's career. I mean, they wasted a lot of careers at some point.
Do you and then look who the guys are they lost to. And like I said, Eli Manning is one of them, but they lost to Michael Vick.
They lost to Colin Kaepernick.
And they lost to Colin Kaepernick. And I'm just like, so they, you know, it's not like they lost to one type
of
guy.
I think the Packers might be some of the best regular season teams of all time. They might be the best franchise for regular seasons because they just dominate regular seasons. And they kick the Vikings' ass at least once every year. It's like you go into a game against Green Bay, you're gonna lose at least one time. You just know that. But to get to the playoffs, like, they got a shot.
Right.
It's Lambeau, but it's like they've lost here before in the playoffs. It's not that big of a deal anymore.
Right.
Because the notion was nobody goes into Lambeau and beats Favre and the Packers in the playoffs. So now it's just like, well, the Vikings did it in 03 or in 04.
Well, and the Packers are 3-5 in NFC title games. And that stat just surprises me in general.
They won 3 of them.
You know, that's not much better than the Vikes. The Vikes are 3-6. I mean, it's strange.
Right. Yeah, right.
To me, that they wouldn't have had more.
But think of the Packers. They won when they got there.
Right.
That's the only really difference between the Vikings and the Packers, that they won their Super Bowls.
Right. But you look at the division titles. I mean, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16.
And where did that get them?
Nowhere. Fast.
And the Vikes broke through, but when they broke through and they got past Green Bay, they got to the NFC Championship game when they... Because the Vikings, it's the Packers that's that. You got to get past the Packers. And they do once every couple seasons. When they do, they get to at least a divisional round when they do it. It's not the worst thing.
Right. So it's just interesting. You know, they've had... You know, they got beat by the Falcons.
Ugh.
They got beat by the Cardinals. I mean, just teams they really shouldn't have lost to.
They lost to the Cardinals twice in a row.
Yeah. I think they kind of wasted some of that. I guess
they wasted most of Rodgers' prime, which is probably true. Because, like, you know, with the Packers, once every couple seasons, they have like a 7-8-1 season. Like, there's some really weird seasons every once in a while.
Yeah, and I get that, but at the same time. You had them going against Seattle, who they lost to.
They should not have lost that game.
They've
had some really bad
playoffs. Atlanta blew them out.
Yeah, they've had some bad playoff collapses.
And the 49ers really handled them. So,
yeah.
If I look at that, you can't pin that all on Rodgers.
No.
But it seems like it. The only other thing I would say about just looking at this grouping of four, like I said, I think Rodgers needs it the most. Do you think that Brady's already been successful this year, no matter what happens on
Sunday.
If he
gets a 7-point, he should retire. But I mean, but
well, no, but don't you think even if they get their ass kicked on Sunday, don't you think this has been a successful year for him?
Oh God, yeah, because he won the divorce. I mean, it's been
Colin. Yeah, like, no, Colin's a big divorce.
He's like,
guy.
Who won the divorce? Well, because he had a divorce.
I don't know. I don't know. I think you could say Belichick could take a shit team and made him 7-9. I don't think that's too bad.
Yeah, but
Cam Newton didn't throw any touchdown passes. We had COVID.
Any team could take this to a winning record. Well, Cam Newton was not the answer at quarterback.
I'm not effing going 7-9.
And he did, but
I think you've got to give Belichick more credit.
If he had, if those opt outs that he had, you know, Patrick Chung and guys that were ever good in that secondary and on the defense, you get those guys back, they're easily making the playoffs.
I was going to say, if you gave Belichick Gronkowski and Antonio Brown, but wait, he already had them. So, but
for
if you,
one
gave,
week,
if you gave him Mike Evans and Chris Godwin in that running game,
Belichick would be unstoppable.
Yeah,
he'd be unstoppable.
They would be unstoppable.
But if Mahomes is the second ring, I mean, in your first three seasons of starting, you win 2 Super Bowls. I mean,
it's not bad.
I mean,
Josh Allen's going to have time to get there. I don't think Mahomes isn't built to last like some of these other guys.
Every great quarterback has that rival with another quarterback.
There isn't one.
With Mahomes?
No, there isn't one right now.
It's between Lamar or Josh Allen.
More
likely Josh Allen.
That would presume that Lamar might win one once in a while. No. He's not good enough. Allen might be, but this is the opportunity for that to develop.
Yeah,
because
it won't be this year.
It won't be this year, but
next year maybe, not this year.
Again, what is the old thing about rivalry games? It's not a rivalry until the other team wins.
Right. South Dakota State and the Bison.
Yeah, I mean the Bills are going to have to win one of these games in a situation like this to do that.
And but also, unlike those '90s Bills, this isn't in Buffalo. This is Kansas City.
No, and that other game we mentioned earlier
was
in Buffalo on a Monday night,
and they won, and the Chiefs won.
Problem also is that the Bills don't get that advantage of having the fans, like they, you know, so that is a problem.
But the Chiefs also have fans in the stands, and they get
right. So I don't think in the end it's going to matter one way or the other whether
for the young guns. This is just, you know, if you don't get there, you don't get there.
Right.
If it's a Packers Bills Super Bowl, I'm taking the Packers. But I don't want it. I want a Chiefs Buccaneers Super Bowl where I don't really have a dog in the fight. I can sit back and watch a Super Bowl.
Right.
But I don't want to have to root against somebody on Super Bowl Sunday.
No, I totally get it.
Because, like, I want, like, a Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl where I hate both teams and I don't want either team to win.
No,
but one unfortunately has to.
I understand.
Right? I hate Green Bay. I'm not a big fan of Buffalo either.
Right.
So.
Well, there you have it. We are on the Bucks plus the 3. Legends got the over. Well, I've got the under, and we're both on the Chiefs minus the 3 with the Bills with a 54 over under. So more to come. Now, and let's talk coaching real quick, if we could for a minute, Grant,
sure.
And move on. The Eagles made an interesting hire today, and
yeah, I question this hire.
Nick Sirianni, and I apologize if I'm butchering the
name.
Assuming
he's Italian.
He's from Jamestown, New York.
Not North Dakota.
No, but
he's always Italian on the eye.
He's going to be the new coach of the Eagles, and this is an interesting hire. And I'd never heard. I honestly could never have named him today.
Nope.
He was with the Chiefs. He was an offensive quality control coach. He was a QB coach. And then he coached wide receivers. Then he went to San Diego and coached for Mike McCoy.
Oh,
Mike
God.
McCoy? Ouch.
Wow.
Spent 2 years as quarterbacks coach there. And then he coached when they changed from the San Diego Superchargers to the LA Chargers. He was wide receiver coach there. And then for the last few years, he's been the offensive coordinator for Frank Reich, the architect of the comeback. And until today, I couldn't have picked him out on a map of anything. So
why wasn't Josh McDaniels in the consideration, or even Eric Bieniemy,
is a quarterback whisperer thing, and of course that's going to be.
I'm tired of that notion. Oh, the quarterback whisperers.
Well,
that's
what they like. I don't know much about him, and I don't know what this is going to mean for Carson.
Okay,
Wentz.
Who are the really big quarterback whisperer coaches? Because I mean,
Well, Andy Reid.
Obviously, other than Andy Reid.
Mike McCarthy was supposedly one.
He's not.
Bull.
Yeah. You know why he won a Super Bowl? Aaron Rodgers. He didn't develop Aaron Rodgers. Brett Favre did.
Kingsbury is supposed to be that guy, too, you know, now, and what he's doing.
Because he had Baker and
McVay, obviously. Because he's literally whispering in Jared Goff's ear.
Now, him, I can believe. Because he's been really good. But
The other guys that were supposed quarterback whisperers were... I don't even know if... I'm trying to think of who else would qualify in that category.
Yeah, it's hard to think of them.
It's not a real long list.
I hate the generational talent or quarterback whisperer. I hate those phrases. Who can coach? Mm-hmm. Who can play?
Well, that's the interesting part because Sirianni is obviously being brought in for his offensive prowess. Another guy who's getting brought in, but for his defensive prowess, is Robert Saleh, the new head coach
of
the
great hire for the Jets.
And if you want to play in New York, you're going to have to learn how to drive, apparently.
Organization. Get used to the mantra, all gas, no break. When we talk about all gas, no break, we're not talking about effort on the field. We're talking about the process at which we do things.
Do things.
We're talking about the way we prepare, the way we wake up every single morning, the way we rehab, the way we communicate, the way we speak to one another. Cannot tell you enough about how excited I am to work with this entire Jets organization and understanding that when we wake up in the morning, we will all, from top down, step on the pedal and find a way to get somewhat better than we were when we woke up.
Okay, so... That's a little bit...
To fly jet, you got out the gas.
Yeah, he sounds a little professorial there. I think he was on the screen more than Kyle Shanahan was, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, you were like, was Robert Saleh the head coach?
Yeah.
It's like in the Oilers days when Buddy Ryan was the defensive coordinator, and you always thought Buddy Ryan was the coach of the Oilers. But it was Jack Pardee, you know?
Jack Pardee.
It was always a party with Pardee. But you know,
did you really just do that?
I just did do that. Okay. But it's just like there's some people who get more attention because of the person they are.
Right.
Buddy Ryan because he punches offensive coordinator. But if it's Robert Saleh because he's a fiery guy because of his defense, and it's always like when there's a third down stop, point to Saleh, cut to Saleh. There he is. It's just like the NFL likes characters and stars. He's one of them.
Well, this guy is definitely going to be a character because Dan Campbell at his press conference today for the Lions.
Is it bad about calling Matt Campbell like the Iowa State head coach?
No, you will be not mistaking Matt Campbell for Dan Campbell. We got to play this because this is 1 minute of Dan Campbell today at the introduction. One whole minute of Dan Campbell. The Detroit Lions' new head coach.
Failure.
Get a load of this guy.
This place has been kicked, it's been battered, it's been bruised, and I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't, but none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that, so excuse my language, all right? Here's what I do know, is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city, all right? And this city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right, it's found a way to overcome adversity. All right, and so this team's going to be built on. We're going to kick you in the teeth. All right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right, and we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right, and on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right, that's going to be the mentality.
Son of a bitch, that's dangerous.
Was that Rocky Six?
There's some cannibalism going on in Detroit. Wow.
Yeah, but all I heard in the background was.
Restore the roar, baby. Let's go.
Restore the roar in the dome.
I tell you what, you're going to bite your kneecap off. That's good because, I mean. The fact that he's that optimistic and ready to fight and everything else, but there was a gentleman I heard yesterday that had a comment because, the pundits were talking about, is Dan Campbell the guy to lead the Lions to the Super Bowl, and is that going to happen? And I got some commentary from a guy who was a little busy yesterday, but he fit this in.
It will never happen. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever.
So,
thanks, President.
Thanks, Mr. President. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Not today, not ever.
Take on the personality of your city. Is that you guys are going to come in full battle gear when you come out?
I don't know. Is that going to be like the RoboCop Detroit where they all started throwing each other away? I work for Dick Jones! Anyway.
It's the Purge all over again.
Right, I don't know what that personality... Maybe that means the drinking water is all poison like it is in Flint or the Superdome or the Silver Dome or whatever
which is no longer with us.
So. Dan Campbell looks like a clown. And maybe, you know what, maybe in a year we'll be like, oh, remember we were laughing at Dan Campbell last year? Well, I'll still be laughing at Dan Campbell for that. I don't know how far that attitude's going to get.
The last time they were successful was when Jim Caldwell was there. Sometimes they just need a quiet coach. As much as I thought Wayne Fonts was a moron.
Wayne Fonts had Barry Sanders. That's all you need to know about Wayne Fonts.
As much as I thought he was a moron... When I listened to him,
is talk, a moron.
He still won a couple of division titles. Okay,
whoopty friggin' do.
He still made the playoffs with the Lions, even with Barry Sanders. Okay, even with Andre Ware, those crappy
Andre
teams.
Andre Ware.
He still made the playoffs with the Lions. Sometimes Lions or Kitties or Motor City Kitties, I should say.
The Motor City Kitties.
If you get a quiet coach, it works for you. I mean. Patricia's not the answer who wears a pencil with a laminated play sheet.
Oh, sorry.
What are you doing?
Sorry.
Come on, we'll play it. What are you going to do?
No. I'm good. I'm saving that for later. I didn't have it up ready.
Seriously. Do the Lions need new ownership? Because do they know what they're doing?
Yeah, but the Fords are never selling that.
Do they know what they're doing?
It's painfully obvious they don't. They hired Matt frickin' Millen, for God's sake. And now they've got, who's the other moron linebacker that came out of the booth? Spielman now is going to do the...
You can't rap with Spielman. Come on.
When they go 5-11 again, I will. Again.
His brother's our GM.
I don't give a shit.
And I don't want the Lions saying, just because we brought back Barry Sanders, he ain't going to come back and play.
Yeah.
He retired 20 years ago.
I can't believe we spent this much time talking about the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
We've talked way too much about the Packers and the Lions on this show.
I get that the Lions and the Ford family are kind of entwined because,
intertwined, I think, is what
you're
looking for.
Because it doesn't matter. We're talking about the Lions. I can screw up words. It doesn't matter. But it's just, I get it. You're with the city. I get it. The Ford family doesn't know what the hell they're doing with that team. And neither does the front office.
No, they don't. You're absolutely right.
It starts with this ownership. It goes down to Stafford from there. USC's only like 32 years old.
Yeah, and his body probably feels like it's about 800.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So they probably won't take a quarterback, but they should.
Probably not.
Go ahead, take Zach Wilson. He'll suck. Take him.
Let's move on to a winning football team.
There we go.
So Missouri Valley schedule changes today. I haven't heard this in a while. Let's give this a play for a second.
60-second countdown start now.
I feel like I should be fingers up in the air or something. Anyway, so Bison football, the Indiana State Sycamores, the COVID-infested trees, now that they are not playing, the Bison schedule has changed, and the opener will not change, however. They are still home to Youngstown on a Sunday to start the opener.
That's gonna be weird.
But now, Southern Illinois... is the new opponent on the schedule. And, of course, that was a struggle last year with Jeremy Chinnan. Was your boy Javon Williams Jr. the third or whatever his name was?
No, he wasn't a Jr. the third. He was just Williams.
Okay. So,
is it bad I didn't even notice Jeremy Chinnan when we played him?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice him. He was out there.
Came back to haunt the Vikings and fortunately won that.
We won the games. Who cares?
So the new schedule, Bison go to Southern Illinois instead of going to Terre Haute, they go to Carbondale.
Why? Can't we just come here? I mean, we went there last year.
Are you going to whine the entire segment?
Yes, I'm going to. Seriously.
So the game shuffle has been a little bit. So now Missouri State is the third game by the March 6th. Then it's, again, home to Illinois State. The UND game moves up from April 17th to March 20th.
Okay.
So, again, home to Youngstown, at Southern Illinois, at Missouri State, home to Illinois State, home to UND, at South Dakota, home to SDSU, and they close the year at UNI.
They close it at UNI?
At UNI is now the closing game.
Okay.
Interesting. UND schedule, by the way, they also get SIU now added on. So
we're losing that game.
So they start out with two home games. So So UND is home to Southern Illinois and home to South Dakota State and home to USD. So they play three in a row at home. Then they go on the road. So they go at Western Illinois, at NDSU, at Youngstown, home to Missouri, and at Illinois State.
God, that sounds easy.
They've got a tough, obviously they have to come to Fargo, but they get SDSU at home, they get USD at home, and they do not have UNI on the schedule.
Oh, that's such a
beast. So, interesting times.
So how come we play UNI every year and they just get to skip them?
I'm sure this is just how the way that that's all rolled
together. Have you ever skipped UNI in the schedule?
I don't think we've ever skipped UNI.
Yeah.
And I don't think we ever will either.
Is it because it's such a great game, or is it...
Pretty much.
It's because two name brands in SCS football going out. It's still a one-sided rivalry.
Right. Yeah. And we got a few more SCS teams dropping out, by the way.
I saw a list.
Northern Colorado's dropped out. The Big Sky is in some serious trouble when it comes to...
Yeah,
they have
obvious.
Northern Colorado out, and now it's a good possibility. It sounds like Cal Davis and a couple other schools might be gone. All the California schools, there's some jeopardy there, so we'll have to wait and see how that goes,
right?
From that perspective, not hearing much on the hiring front yet for some other the coaching vacancies, but I do want to pitch that next week, next Thursday, a week from tonight on our show, I will be presenting to you why NDSU should stay in the FCS.
This is a full paper, people.
An open challenge to Mike McFeely and the other non-informed people who simply throw out non-researched hot take bullshit, and I will educate you all as to why the Bison should stay in FCS 1 week from tonight. Just tune in. You won't be disappointed. It'll be interesting to hear the perspectives that you have, and I'm going to give you my what I've uncovered and why I think it makes sense for the Bison to stay where they are for the time being, including the comments about the fraudulent roosters, which I, of course, on a regular basis. Let's close real quick. It's Pio weekend. Bison basketball against the Pioneers. Denver's awful. Let's put it mildly. They have one good player.
Which is?
One good player on the
entire... Is that their center?
No, it's that point guard kid.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to pull up his name in a minute because I can't remember it.
Yeah, that's a player.
Well,
all I know is that
Jace Townsend is his name.
No idea who he is. But
20 points a game.
All I know about Denver is that Chauncey Billups' brother is their coach. That's all I know.
All I know also about them is the only team they've beaten is Regis and Kathy Lee. Oh, no, Regis College, actually. Regis is the Division II squad that's in the Metro Denver. The Bison used to whoop up on them every once in a while. But Denver not exactly putting up stiff competition here, although they did take ORU to the four-point loss. But they've lost to the powerhouses like UC Riverside by 20,
oh boy.
Wyoming by 23, Dixie State, Northern Colorado, Texas State, and Northern Arizona. Because I'm standing by a window and standing on a corner in Northern Arizona. And then in league play, they managed to go and lose by 39 and 22 to USD.
Oh, boy.
Like I said, they got within four of ORU in the first game and then lost to him by nine. And then they get the privilege now of going to play the Bison this weekend and then the South Dakota State.
Yeah, that was coming.
So... Maybe a little rough for the Pios.
The Pios gave the Bison the game in the first round last year.
I distinctly remember that because I think that was one of the last sporting events we ever went to before the pandemic.
No, that was Omaha.
But we were at the State A.
We were, and
I was up in the balcony.
I think it was state or conference tournament. I remember what it was.
It was region tournament.
It was region tournament. Mm-hmm. I'm watching my Davies, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm constantly looking at the score. I'm with Chayton's beside me, and I'm like, what? I had to tell what the score was constantly because I had it on my phone. I'm used to being plus on my phone.
Yeah, like, we're trying to get it to work.
They're going
to
win.
Yeah, that was a barn
burner. Yeah, they update the score in the building because it's the Bison home arena, so they have to play it.
Bison, by the way, 14.5 point favorite.
Yeah, I'll take that.
This one we've got. South Dakota State and UND playing this weekend, which ought to be interesting at SDSU. But South Dakota State, 15-point favorite.
No one goes to Frost Arena and beats the Rabbits.
And so. South Dakota and Western Illinois. South Dakota has to spend a weekend in Macomb.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's not good by any stretch.
I mean, it's the middle of nowhere.
Not exactly where I'd want to spend my weekend.
Is there probably some Motel 6?
Yeah. they might have a residence in. Maybe they're lucky. So we'll see.
But there's some Motel 6 I could stay at. That'd be
exactly. All right. Lastly, we got to talk about the best team that's in. Whoops, I already screwed the song up. Wait. The best team in the region right now. You can't tune away from the Wild.
Can you play by the Wild part again?
Strong and Wild.
But we'll get there, don't worry. 3-1 for the only team better than them is Vegas, baby. Vegas is undefeated in their first four. But
jackpot, baby.
You take away the Wild, you turn off the Wild in the third period, you miss out.
You do.
I mean, I remember joking at the beginning of this.
They're kicking ass.
It's unbelievable. They're 3-1. They've won every game in either the late third period or in overtime.
And so, the only game they lost was 1-0.
Right.
So
the Mighty Ducks got them there. But but the Wild have started out well. And I remember joking at the beginning of the season that you have to stay up late. And
you do.
Just because they got a lot of West Coast games. And is this the Honda NHL West? Yeah. I already forgot the divisions.
Yeah, funny. We did a show on it. We don't remember.
And I can't remember what the name of the
division. That's how forgettable it
is. Yeah, that's how, exactly. But that's also early season hockey, which is also pretty forgettable, too.
Yeah.
So.
But remember, Minnesota sports teams, they start great and then fall apart.
Yeah, so
I'm just waiting for the
if you watch that Wild, if you watch that Timberwolves game the other night, you know all about falling apart. God, that's just a horrible, horrible thing. What did they have? Did they have an 18-point lead in that game?
They get a 20-18, and then it just,
some damn thing.
If you make one free throw, you can win that game, too.
And then D'Angelo Russell goes up there and just bricks some ugly free throws up there, I think it was, right? Was that who was shooting?
No! It was Jared Vanderbilt.
Shooting free throws at the end?
Yes!
I thought it was D'Angelo.
No!
It was Jared Vanderbilt?
Yes!
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Look it up.
I don't even know.
You don't want
to
look it up.
No, I don't want to, because you know what? It doesn't matter.
What
your name is, yeah. You know, I was going to play the Rock clip tonight when we were talking about Eagles coach.
But is it because they shot Greg Anthony watch his son make that shot? I can't watch it. It's just because it's against the Wolves. It's against, like, you know, the Hawks or something. I could watch it, but
just okay.
Because on NBA TV they had Greg Anthony. He was watching the game and he saw Cole hit it. That's what was cool
about
it.
Okay.
That's just what was cool. I did not watch it because I don't.
I was gonna play this when we talked about Nick. I already forgot his name. What is it? Nick Sirianni. I was gonna play this.
Who in the blue hell are you?
I had no idea. And blue hell, of course, because with the cold, so I thought it would have been. But had to get the best part about playing sound clips on the show was watching Grant react to him. So that's
absolutely blue.
Who in the blue hell are you? Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. It's so funny to me. But anyway, enough sound clips for the night. I like them. I know you do. That's going to be in your head now, isn't it? Are we going to make a hockey fan out of you?
If you make me choose an NHL team to watch, then I choose the Wild. But because I kind of have to.
Well, that's true. But that's the only hockey game I'll watch anyway.
I'm not rooting for, like, Kings or something. I don't know.
We already beat them twice. We're done with that. Like they're my team.
Yeah, we. We don't love them O's.
We don't, exactly. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com. Find links to our previous shows, Why Coastal Carolina Sucks, and if Grant can get through the closing better than he did on Monday's show. Appreciate Grant, it. How do we find you?
Call me on Instagram, Snapchat, @GrantLegend1. Call me on TikTok, @GrantLegend. Tell us on Instagram, Legend_Loudmouth_Pod. Legend_Loudmouth_Pod.
If you like the show, hate the show, we don't care. Just give us please and subscribe to YouTube channel.
Oh, little stumble at the end, but not bad. Much better than me.
As fast as I do, because I don't have much time.
We've done 103 of these. We should have it down by now. Of course, we didn't do the formal closing.
Yeah, but you have like a thing in front.
Well, I have to write it down because there's no way I'm getting through the train.
Yeah, you have to write it down.
So, but hey, you know what? That's show prep, baby. You're still learning after 103 episodes how to do that. Hey, Monday, we'll break down the conference championships and give you your first look ahead to the Super Bowl. Join us, won't you? It's the Legend and the Loudmouth. Good night, everybody.